This is Radio 4 VHF. If you wish to hear the shipping forecast, you should redial to Radio 4 medium wave. If you wish to hear Listening Corner, you should redial to Radio 4 long wave. If you wish to hear the food program, you should redial to Radio 4 microwave.
It's time for the Million Pound Radio Show. Please welcome your hosts, Andy Hamilton and Nick Revel.
Thank you very much. Good evening and welcome to the show. Later on in tonight's show, we'll be meeting the man who deliberately developed a split personality because he reckoned it would be easier to pay the rent if there was two of him.
And we'll be meeting the amazing memory man. Now, he can remember every single name in the telephone directory, and he can even remember who Andrew Ridgely was.
And we'll be looking at the new events magazine for agoraphobics in London called Time In.
But first, we're very excited tonight because with us we have Dr. Ambrose Philpott. And tonight, live on our show, he is going to attempt to break a world speed record. He is aiming to examine 10 patients inside an incredible 32.4 seconds.
That's correct.
Now, this is a world record, never been done before, not even on Harley Street.
No.
Right, okay. We are all rooting for you, all right? We've got the 10 patients, and the clock starts now.
First patient, please.
Well...
Valium, next. Valium, next.
It's my...
Valium, next. Valium, next.
I demand a second opinion.
Librium, next.
I've been,
Mystery virus, next.
Doctor.
Premenstrual tension, next.
Where?
Nurse, next.
Help me, doctor.
Nothing to worry about, next.
You see, I'm desperate.
Come back on Thursday, next.
I can't sleep.
Sleeping tablets, next.
No, I tried sleeping tablets.
Paracetamol, extra strong paracetamol, next.
No, I don't like drugs. You see, I'm so depressed.
Oh, kill yourself! Next!
Ever since my wife died, I've
been... I said next!
Oh, no, bad luck. Foiled by a patient who wanted to talk. Never mind. Very close.
Right? Next! I said next! What's the matter with him? Doesn't he speak English? I was so close! I was that close! Right.
Well, as Dr. Philpott administers that rather large enema, let's hand over to Nick.
Thank you, Andy. Well, we're very excited tonight to also have with us in the studio the world's fattest man. Well, actually, half of him is in the studio. When the rest of him arrives, we'll be talking to him about obesity and the problems of having sex when your sexual organs can only be found with the aid of huskies.
And we'll be talking to Roy Hattersley about his early career as a lawn sprinkler. Right. You've been away, Nick.
I have, actually, Andy. I booked an 1830 club holiday, you know, in Spain. Mm. Got to Heathrow, went to the check-in desk.
Good morning. Your destination?
Barcelona.
Destination Barcelona. And which destination for your baggage?
Barcelona.
But you're going to Barcelona?
Yeah.
Well, you can't both go to Barcelona. Completely throw the system.
Well, look, I mean, I can't...
No problem, sir.
Well, he wants his bags to go where he's going.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. We can't bend the rules just for you. If your bags stayed with you, then everyone's bags would have to stay with them, and there'd be anarchy, wouldn't there? Where's he going?
Barcelona.
I'll tell you what, sir. As a compromise, I'll try to get your bags on a flight to Lisbon.
Lisbon?
Same continent. It's the best I can do, I'm afraid.
So what happened?
Well, I went to Barcelona, my bags went to Lisbon, and my underpants turned up in Vladivostok.
How was the flight?
Well...
This is your captain speaking. Welcome aboard flight A7 to, Barbados.
Barcelona.
We are flying at approximately 24,000 feet. At the moment, we are over the English Channel, which means that if we crashed now, we'd have a much better chance than if we crashed in 30 minutes' time when we're over the Pyrenees. That would be a bit of a bummer. Not that we know anything about that, of course. There might be a split second of realization, during which time your life might flash before your eyes. But the older passengers among you would probably only have time for the first 30 years. arriving in Barcelona at 11:42. Touch wood. And in the meantime, just sit back and relax. There is a film. We'll be showing a very interesting documentary about how the space shuttle exploded just because one tiny little washer came loose.
They don't make you feel very relaxed, do they?
What?
I said they don't make you feel very relaxed. Are you all right? You're dripping with sweat. Why don't you put your case up on the rack there and...
Don't touch my case, it's a bomb!
A bomb.
Oh, damn, I've done it again. Oh, God, I've blurted out that it's a bomb. Why do I always do it? What's the matter with me?
Luckily, it was a new kind of bomb designed by Sir Clive Sinclair.
So it didn't go off?
Oh, no, no, it exploded, but nobody noticed.
Oh,
So anyway, we landed. Off I went to the 1830 Club Holiday Centre, and they wouldn't let me in.
You're kidding.
No, I failed the entrance exam.
Eh?
I admitted I'd probably try and find out a girl's name before I slept with her.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought, well, I'll go on a driving tour of Spain.
You had a map?
No, I just followed me nose, you know. You know me, got a pretty hot sense of direction.
So how was France?
Fantastic. French women are fantastic, really, aren't they? I love the sexy way they sneer at your dress sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet you had some nice meals.
Well, I went into one restaurant in Paris.
With Monsieur Problem?
Yes, yes. Look at this egg. It's swimming in fat, everything's covered in ketchup, and the vegetables have all been boiled until they're a tasteless, colourless mush.
Unforgivable! I am sorry, monsieur. We thought you were English. So we have cooked the food à l'anglais. Marcel, step on...
No, I am English.
Impossible, monsieur. You have just complained about the quality of the food. The English, they never complain. Last week, for a bet, we served an Englishman 2 bits of cardboard smothered in mint sauce. He did not complain. He ate it and then asked for the recipe.
I am English.
Monsieur is having a little joke.
Ow! You just stamped on my foot.
Voila! Not an Englishman. If you stamp on an Englishman's foot, he always says sorry. You are from Canada or somewhere like that, huh?
Look, I'm English. English. Look, I'm wearing an I am good in bed t-shirt. What more proof do you want? I know how to convince you. I'm up on the table and right. Here we go, here we go, here we go. Here we go, here we go.
So what happened?
Well, it's funny, because once I'd sung 9 verses of Here We Go, I turned into a psychotic moron and put 12 people in hospital.
Yeah, that's...
Didn't make me very popular with the French, though.
No, still it's very distinctive.
What?
Having the words English bastard tattooed on your forehead.
Well, I think so.
This show is the last in the series, and we've had some laughs and good times. But I think this is a suitable moment to think about those to whom laughter is a forgotten memory. This is Terry. Terry is 36 years old, but Terry is no ordinary 36-year-old, for sadly, Terry has the mind of a sports commentator.
And that is absolutely incredible!
Mentally, he's so backward that he's completely lost his grip on reality.
And England are in with a real chance here.
Now, this condition can take many horrible forms, as in the case of Norman over here. Now, Norman suffers from Motson's syndrome.
And how ironic that a left-back should score the winning goal when you consider that a left-back did the same thing in 1923. How very ironic.
Now, Motson syndrome is an acute mental illness whereby the patient comes to view everything as being ironic.
And I stubbed my toe. Well, how ironic. What incredible thing.
Norman's condition can result in insanity and suicide. And it doesn't do Norman much good either. It's a terrifying illness, almost as terrifying as the illness which afflicts Graham.
Well, like, for me...
Graham has Channon's disease.
Like, for me, for me...
He can only manage 4 words.
Like, well, for me...
And he has wide, starry eyes and waves his arms around out of frustration that he can't express himself.
Like, well, me, yes. Four.
Thank you. Now, of course, all these conditions are infectious illnesses communicated by TV. There are others, like the lethal Jimmy Hill syndrome. where the victim dies from a rampant and quite horrible smugness. Now, these people's lives have been destroyed by the World Cup and years of Sunday grandstand, so please help. The money you send will go where it's most needed, to pay for hitmen who can destroy the sources of all this suffering. Please help. This could be you.
Oh, and he's got... No, he hasn't. Well, that is absolutely incredible!
Well, as you know, we generally review a new film every week here on the Million Pound Radio Show, and it really is great fun going to those press previews. There's always lots of celebrities there, lots of booze, wonderful food, and everybody has a great time. And this week it was Andy's turn to go, as usual. Andy, what film did you see?
I've got a trailer with me. I'll play it now.
What's going on here?
I don't know, sir. Someone they call the teacher is arriving.
Is he indeed?
Yes, here he comes now, sir.
Who the hell are you?
My name is Mohandas Mahatma Gandhi.
Really? Now look here, Gandhi.
The British Raj is the disease, and I am the cure.
Michael Winner presents Gandhi 2. Mahatma's back, and this time he's getting mad.
Well, earlier tonight we met some people whose lives have been destroyed by TV-related illnesses. But an even bigger threat to our general well-being is occupational diseases. Sally suffers from an occupational disease.
Concept-wise, I think we should just bounce that one around the ballpark.
Sally works in advertising.
But it's great fun. I mean, the people are really now. I mean, and some of the strategies are just so mega-creative.
Her body is completely addicted to lunch.
Lunch? Okay, I'll just get my phone.
If she wanders more than 6 yards away from a restaurant, she becomes panicky. It's frightening to see close-up, isn't it? Tom here has an occupational disease too.
Oh, God.
He's an architect, and he's been struck down by an overwhelming irrational phobia, a fear that one day he will design a building that's attractive and nice to live in.
Oh, I'm gonna do
all in his mind, of course. As it is with Nigel here.
I know she is. I just know it.
Nigel is unemployed and suffers from Thatcher-noia. That's the irrational, obsessive belief that Mrs. Thatcher will be Prime Minister forever and ever.
She's eternal. She's just going to go on and on. Oh, God. Oh, God.
It's an insane delusion, of course. She can't go on as Prime Minister indefinitely. Now, obviously, for a start, she'd get too old for the job and they'd ask her to stand down, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they? Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, no.
Now, the frightening thing about Thatcher-noia is that it's highly infectious. It spreads like waff. Oh, God, she's never going to die.
This is Radio 4. Well, we have to leave the Million Pound Radio Show for a moment for medical reasons, which gives me an opportunity to tell you a bit about tomorrow's programmes. At 3 o'clock, afternoon theatre.
They're everywhere. Everywhere. They're out to get us. But we're going to get them. Get them first, before they get us. Get them! Get the scum!
That's Get the Scum, a debut radio play written by Norman Tebbit. The play deals with complex themes, like the correlation between socialism and venereal disease, and Brian Redhead's homosexual relationship with Fidel Castro. And at 8:30, it's Medicine Now, which takes a look at a modern operation.
Scalpel.
Clamp.
Right, now there's the obstruction. This is rather tricky. Got to get it right first time. Otherwise, he's had it.
Everything okay, Dr. Benson?
Yes, sister. It's just I wonder if I'm doing the right thing.
Well, if the obstruction is blocking his aorta...
No. I meant morally. Am I doing the right thing, trying to save his life?
Well, I don't...
I mean, perhaps the Christian scientists are right. Maybe we don't have the right to interfere. I mean, why should I try and keep him alive?
Well, it's your job, Doctor. I mean, his pulse is weakening.
Yes, but is that reason enough, Sister? I mean, let's face it. We've all got to go sometime, haven't we? What I do is futile, really.
Doctor?
Now, you think about it. Every patient whose life I save, eventually they're going to die anyway.
Yes, very profound, Doctor, but the patient is actually...
I do nothing, he dies. I do the op, he lives, he dies later. So what?
Well, I think he might appreciate the choice, Doctor.
I mean, just what is it all about?
Doctor?
Please, Sister, I'm having a midlife crisis.
Who's the patient, Doctor?
Oh, God, the futility of it all.
Dr. Elliot, I think you'd better take over. Dr. Benton's gone to pieces, and the patient's gone into arrest.
Yes, Sister, of course, yes. Right. Scalpel.
Scalpel.
Clamp.
Clamp.
He's got a point, though, hasn't he?
What?
Should we prolong life artificially? After all, is death an end to life, or is it just the beginning of a different plane of existence?
No, it's an end to life.
Life is as tedious as a twice-told tale, Shakespeare.
True. Life is a task to be done.
Schiller?
No, Schopenhauer, actually.
Nurse, run and tell the hospital administrator we've got an outbreak of philosophy in theatre two.
Life is like an onion which one peels crying, French proverb.
In the midst of life, we are in death.
Yes, funny you should say that. The patient's dead.
Dead?
Yes, dead. Well, what have you got to say for yourselves?
Death, where is my sting?
Death is a camel that lies down at every door. Persian proverb.
Death is never having to say you're sorry?
How true, how very,
very
true.
You can hear more of that tomorrow. Listeners will be relieved to hear that charges of criminal negligence have been brought against that nursing sister on the evidence of two surgeons. But now it's time to go back to the Million Pound Radio Show. And the first voice you'll hear is that of the ugly one with a long nose who has such bad halitosis that he's used to clear department stores during bomb scares.
Well, it's just been revealed that the New Age hippies are in fact just old hippies who have just taken 18 years to come down from their last acid trip.
And some legal news now. It's been announced that the Daleks are suing Mrs. Thatcher for breach of copyright.
What's up with you tonight, anyway?
Hey?
Well, you've got that really vacant, beaming smile on your face.
Have I?
Yeah, that really smug grin.
Yeah, well, we are quite excited, actually, because we think Libby might be, we think Libby might be...
Up the spout.
No, not up the spout, actually, Nick. We think she might be expecting a baby.
Oh, God.
What do you mean, oh, God? It's exciting.
Yeah. Why is it that quite ordinary, decent, pleasant people, and you, Andy, the moment they're expecting a baby, they become total pains in the ass. I mean, take my friends Graham and Jean. I went round to see them the other day, right?
Nick, hi, come in.
Hi there.
We're just having tea. Try some lentil mousse.
Great.
Nick, hi.
Hi,
come in and see the little man.
Right, yeah.
He's a bit special.
Yeah, isn't he lovely, eh? Yeah. Hello, little fella. What have you called him?
Tarquin.
Tarquin, that's, a name. A nice name.
Hmm. Tarquin was an emperor.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Lovely baby. How old is he?
6 weeks.
He'll be talking soon.
He's talking now.
Really?
Absolutely. Listen. Hear that? He said isometrics.
Tarquin's a prodigy.
Yeah, well, he does look very bright and...
He's writing a novel?
Yeah, we just give him the pen and away he goes.
Uh-huh.
Here's his first chapter.
Look. Oh, right, yeah. Bit hard to read, isn't it?
it's not in English. Good Lord, no. We think he's writing in early Sanskrit.
We're taking it to the publishers tomorrow, aren't we, Tarquin?
Oh, a boy.
He never cries. Never, never cries. Do you, darling?
Oh, spoke too soon, eh?
Oh, that's not crying. No, he's improvising a modernist opera.
Amazing. Well, he's a lovely little kid, yes.
He's our little genius.
It's incredible, really, isn't it? I mean, you know, you as parents, you're tuned into all these special little ways, whereas to me, you know, he just looks like any other ordinary baby, you know. It's amazing. Don't you, eh? Yes.
What did you say?
I just said to me, you know, he looks like any other baby, really.
Graham... Did you hear what he said?
Get out of this house!
All I said was...
Get out!
Well, I didn't mean any offence.
Get out! Get out! If you ever think of setting foot in this house again...
Well, don't worry, you'll get plenty of warning, won't you? The baby here will spot me coming up the road with his X-ray vision. Oh, no, I've set Tarquin improvising again. I hope he doesn't miss the deadline for his novel.
I mean, they're all like that.
Yeah, well, look, me and Libby won't be that sort of parent, you know? I mean, we wouldn't dream of spoiling little Napoleon Amadeus Eusebio, you know? Anyway, later in the show, we'll be talking about the importance of safe sex and the dangers of wobbly wardrobes.
We'll also be talking to the team of Antarctic explorers who are acclimatised by spending the entire winter in an old-age pensioner's flat.
And we'll be reporting on today's heated exchanges in Parliament between Sir Geoffrey Howe and Dennis Healy. Apparently, Sir Geoffrey Howe got so angry he turned bright grey.
And we interrupt the Million Pound Radio Show to bring you an urgent news flash. The government have announced that just over 1 minute ago they initiated a nuclear exchange with the Soviet Union. SS-20 missiles are reported to be heading for all major population centres in Britain. And that is the end of the newsflash. So now let's rejoin Andy and Nick for the Million Pound Radio Show.
Right. Welcome back.
To comedy. Bit of a bugger, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit. Now, nobody panic, all right? Especially in our studio audience.
Yeah, yeah. The safety procedure is that we all stay put and do exactly what the commissioners say.
Yeah, they're the ones holding the machine guns, okay? So.
The last few minutes.
Yeah. Oh, now look, if anybody in the audience wants to make love, you know, I mean, not necessarily with either of us, you know, I mean, with your loved one, please... feel free, okay? Anyone? Oh, yeah, a couple in the back row, they're fine. Away you go. Okay, good, good.
Yeah, and if any members of CND want to shout, I told you so, or anything like that, feel free.
Yeah.
Huh. What?
Well, I was just thinking about the Renaissance.
All right.
What a waste of time that was. Poor old Michelangelo, he spends his whole life up a ladder, crippled with backache for nothing.
Yeah.
And what about all the other great human achievements, eh? The pyramids, the Taj Mahal.
Milton Keynes.
Milton Keynes. There's going to be nothing left. No buildings, no mammals. The insects will survive.
Yeah?
Like that beetle down there, he'll survive.
Not now he won't.
It's a bit vindictive, wasn't it?
Well, frankly, it's put me in a bit of a bad mood. Yeah. I set the video to record the omnibus edition of Brookside.
Oh, yeah.
A couple in the back row are going it, son.
Yeah. How does he do that? Yeah. Of course, you know, all this was foretold in Revelations.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. The world will end in fire. No mention of where or when, mind. All in the Bible. Most unhelpful book ever written. So vague. I mean, why couldn't it just say, you know, yea, verily, in 1940, if a man called Oppenheimer says he can build you a big bomb, this is a bad idea, you know? Do you think there's a God?
Why?
Well, I'm an atheist. If there is, I'm going to look a right berth, aren't I? No way I'll get into heaven.
No. Not unless you say you're with Cliff Richard.
Yeah.
One of his roadies or something.
Yeah.
Mind you, I've got no worries about getting into heaven, see? Not since I became a devout Christian.
When did you become a Christian?
About 30 seconds ago.
The audience are taking it very well.
Yeah.
Considering they're all about to be incinerated and the world is going to end.
Well, it's the British way, isn't it? We don't make a fuss, do we?
True, yeah. Yeah, I bet it's pandemonium in Rome.
Yeah. Yeah, all those Italians. Waving their arms about, bolting their pasta.
Mamma mia.
Yeah.
There'll be some histrionics in South America as well, with the old Latins.
Yeah, blimey.
Where's your handball got you now, Diego, eh?
Cheats never prosper, yeah. Jimmy Hill.
Yeah. how long to go?
55 seconds.
I don't think that couple in the back row are going to make it, you know. Hey, don't bother with the foreplay. You've only got 50 seconds. No. So the earth should move for them, shouldn't it?
Andy?
Yeah?
Listen, I'm sorry if, you know, in the past I've behaved badly towards you.
Come on. Hey, it doesn't matter. Huh?
You know, sorry about that time I lined your underpants with pimento.
But it's forgotten.
And I'm really sorry about that time you had that attack of acne, and I waited till you were asleep and joined up all the dots with the felt tip.
It was very funny, you know, in retrospect. You know, don't worry about it, mate, okay?
And I'm sorry about that time, you know, when you went into hospital and I went round to your flat and slept with your girlfriend.
But, hey, come on. We're mates and it's the end of the world, okay? So give us a hug, yeah. Right?
Cheers, mate.
God bless.
God bless.
You did what?